that your spirit will teach us. For nobody can teach your word. No man has the intelligence to teach the wisdom of God. The Bible says, these are the things that the Spirit himself teaches. We trust that your Spirit will teach us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So we are Thursday talking about being rooted and grounded. This will be the part four of this one. Being rooted and grounded in these truths of our salvation. This will be the part four. We know all these things we've been teaching that are our redemptive privileges that we have in Christ Jesus. All of them are freely given to us. It will be in your own interest, in my own interest, to know them. Because this is what you live in. This is what you live by. You don't have any other thing outside what Jesus paid for you to have. So it's important that you know them, familiarize yourself with them, and meditate on them constantly, and declare them to be true for yourself. These are God's free gifts to us. What did I say they are? They are God's what? Free gifts to us. It is called the riches of his grace. It is described as the riches of his grace, given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is delivered by the word of his grace. And as we store them in our hearts, as we store them where? In our hearts. The Holy Spirit begins to use them to change our entire life. These are God's free gifts to us. It's called the riches of his grace. Everybody said that. The riches of his grace. Say it one more time. The riches of his grace. There used to be one church in our nature when we were growing up. The name of that ministry was the riches of Christ. That name is accurate. Except that their leader finally backslid. But that name is accurate, the riches of Christ. So the riches of his grace is all the package that God delivered to you and to me. And it came through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible said that Jesus brought us grace. And it delivered via the word of his grace called the gospel. So we store it in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit begins to use them to change, to sculpt our lives, to change our entire lives. 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." The truth is where? In thee, found in you, stored in you, stored in you, not under your pillow, in your heart. The truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So these truths that reveals the riches of the grace of Christ must be found in me, must be found in you. You know that nobody wants to be poor. Being poor is not what anybody wants. When a man has nothing in the bank, he's not comfortable. If a man has no financial value stored anywhere, it's a very dire situation. And then it's not comfortable. And you know, we wake up every morning and go to work for one reason, to get money. We work for money. Come rain, come sunshine. We wake up, go to work, so that I have money to spend. Nobody wants to be without money. Nobody. Because we know the value of money. And that is treasure of its own in the natural realm. But there is also treasure that is more than money, that is spiritual too. There is treasure in the natural realm, money, which we work for, work hard for. But there is treasure also, spiritual treasures, that is more powerful, more important than money. And Luke chapter 12, as our Lord Jesus Christ was wanting to compare values, he wanted to tell us that our life does not constitute of money or natural things. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, Luke chapter 5, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life, your life and my life, consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Our Lord is saying, be careful that you don't attach, you don't become crazy about money or the things you own. That your life is not money and your life is not clothes. Your life is not house. Your life is not a degree. Your life is none of these things. He said, take heed and beware. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of all these things that is natural treasure. So he began to compare values for us in verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do now? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow what? All my fruits and my goods. Remember why Jesus is saying this. That man's life does not constitute by distance. But he thought that that is life. 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods now, laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou what? Fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Somebody who misplaces value thinks that natural treasure is what makes his life. Jesus is saying no, that your life is not made by natural treasure. It doesn't consist by what you own. There's none of us here whose life is a your life is not gare. Your life is not building. Your life is not money. Your life. No, you can't bring 500,000 and say, that is I know. It's not possible. His life is greater than that. So that does not constitute, it's not the core thing that makes us who we are. That's what Jesus is saying. That it is easy for a man, because of what he provides you here on earth, to think that that's what makes you who you are. And that's why the Bible is talking of good success. Because good success is building your life with what makes your life. And bad success is building your life with what doesn't what? Make your life. Good success is building your life with what makes your life what it is. Bad success is engaging the things that will make you who you are. And Jesus is saying, make a distinction between natural treasures and spiritual treasures. That if a man is rich in natural treasures, But he's poor in spiritual treasures. That is a fool. He's made a wrong choice. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that we should seek spiritual treasures like we seek silver and gold. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Verse 4, search for them as you would for what? Search for them as you would for what? Silver. Seek them like what? Hidden treasure. Seek them like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. You will gain the real treasure. You gain the real treasure. You will gain the real treasure that makes your life worth it. But this is why we live in a world that is constantly telling us, wanting to change our value system all the time. You get advertisers, you get all manner of people, you get global calls, you get all manner of things trying to bombard your mind to make you think that this natural treasures is all you live for. Unfortunately, many people have bought into that. Many people bought into that. But the Spirit of God is saying, you should seek for this hidden treasure. Seek for it like you seek what? Silver and gold. So whereas you seek to walk and make money, it's also seek this one the same way. Put serious effort in seeking the hidden treasure, the real treasures of God, the word of God. Colossians 1:27. For God wanted them to know that the riches God wanted them to know that what? I didn't hear you. That what? The riches. The what? The riches. That what? The riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles. You see the word the Holy Spirit is using? That these are riches. These are riches. They are for you Gentiles too. Therefore, you Gentiles, the riches and the glory of Christ. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. Now, see, he's telling you these riches right away. In whom, Ephesians 1:7. Okay, I'll read that one. Anyone. In him we have what? Redemption. Through. See, your redemptive privileges, your redemptive blessings, the forgiveness of what? Sins. According to what? The riches of his grace. These are hidden treasures. These are real riches that makes your life what it is. This is how God changed your life. This is how God changed my life. This is how God changed my circumstances. Not the earthly treasures. This is how God changed me and gave me the riches of his grace, the treasures of heaven. And we said that it's delivered via the word of his grace. Acts 20:32. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of what? His grace, which is able to build you up. That's what builds your life. And give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. These are the riches that build my life. These are the riches that build your life. Praise the Lord. The word of his grace. Everybody say the word of his grace. And now, because it's delivered via the word of his grace, that word must dwell in us in abundance for it to have effect. It's not to dwell trickle. It has to be in abundance. It has to be what? In abundance, in us. Remember where we started. John said, the truth is in my children. It's in them, and they walk in it. So Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell where? How much? Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Can you give me another translation? Let's see what they say. Maybe New Living Translation or anyone. Yeah. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. That's the riches that makes our life what it is. Jesus said, a man's life does not constitute in the abundance of what he what possesses. Now he's telling us what makes our life. That's why we say Christ, who is our life. Now he's telling us what makes our life, what produces a healthy life, a life that doesn't get sick, prosperous life, victorious life, life of power, life of glory. Telling us how this is, where it comes from, and how it happens. Now, let me show us a few things about the earthly treasure that we also clamor, and once it's there, we don't really want to bother too much about any other thing. We think we have it now. All is okay. All is not okay. Oh. Let me show you what we trust. Oh. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in what? How did he describe it? Uncertain. Okay. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be what? Proud. Not to trust their money. But that's what we do. Once our bank account is fat and we have all these things, may we trust in it all as well. When we say all is well, it's not because of Christ, it's because of the man. It's true. He said, which is so what? Unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly now gives us all we need for our enjoyment. That's another richness that God gives. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Say, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. That's what I was saying on that Sunday that the Lord was telling me. He said, I don't bless selfish people because they're idolaters. He said they worship themselves. He said that's what the Pharisees were doing. Everything was about themselves. They focused only themselves. He said, how can I give a man money to worship himself? He said he focuses on himself. Everything is about him, his family. That's all. That's what he's saying. He said you should use it to be rich in good works, generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Praise the Lord. I've had Andrew Womack saying this morning as I was passing by. He said that people are bound. They are slaves to money. They are slaves to money. And money won't let them do anything that God wants them to do. That's true. So, and then the next scripture says, Luke chapter 18, 24. It says, the natural treasures cannot give you heaven, cannot bring you into heaven. Just forget it. Luke 18, 24. When Jesus saw this, he said, how hard it is for the rich to enter what? Kingdom of God. He said, the riches can't bring you into the kingdom of God. It can't bring anybody into the kingdom of God. And can't give you the riches of Christ. It can't give it to you. So we're talking about values and treasures. The treasures, the natural treasures, when we don't have them, is called poverty. And it affects us. Because you can't buy what you want. And you can't eat the food you want. It's the same thing with spiritual poverty. Spiritual poverty is even worse. Let me show us a few things it does. Hosea 4, 6. You know that now. Hosea 4, 6. My people are being destroyed because what? They don't know me. See that? When somebody doesn't have the riches of the word of his grace, he doesn't know Christ. He's empty. He's totally empty. And so he has nothing to draw from. He is bare of spiritual resources. So the Bible says he's destroyed. Just like somebody who has no money, has no food, nothing is destroyed. The same way people who have no riches of knowing Christ and the word of his grace, they are destroyed too. They are really, really destroyed. And then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he founded it what? I didn't hear you. He founded it what? The first thing he finds. Okay. I think we have a problem in there. He founded it. He founded it what? What's the first thing he finds it? Empty. Empty. It's like going to your bank account, there's nothing there. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, finding none. Then what happens? Then he says, I will return to the person I came from. So he returns and finds it for my house, home, how? Empty. It is swept too, and in order. It's a Christian. But it is empty. Let my word dwell what? Rich. Let it live there. But it's empty. Because doesn't know the value of it. It's empty. Then it says in verse 46. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to frighten you, but this is true. Let me tell you something. If God heals you the first time, and you let that thing come back, to heal you the second time is harder. Tell you the truth. It's more difficult. That's why you should have the word of God and resist the thing. Resist it. Because they will try to come back. That symptom will try to come back. Always tries to come back. You must have the word of God and refuse to accept it back. Can I hear amen here? Don't let it in, because it's going to come with seven more to harass your life. Not that you can't get healed, you will get healed the second time, but it's going to take more effort on your part. So the word of God is stored in our hearts. Our heart is the real bank. Your heart is the real bank where this word is stored, where this treasure is stored. Psalm 119 verse 11. The word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against it. So David knew what to store it in the heart. That's why meditation is very important. That's why we must find time to meditate and store it. We can't let it off our sight. Because out of sight is out of mind. By meditating, you keep it inside. You focus on it. Yesterday we had very awesome testimony in the believers' meeting, what focusing on the word of God does. I wish all of you were there. How many of you were there? Did it bless you? It was amazing. Man, it blew me up. It was amazing. What focusing on the word of God does in the life of somebody. So David said, I hid it in my heart. Why the word hide? Why the word hide? He doesn't want anything to take it. Number two, it's a treasure. When you get a treasure, where do you keep it? You hide it. Remember, we said it's a treasure. But have we realized it's a treasure? When you have a treasure, you hide it. David says, I hide it in my heart. 2 Corinthians 4, 5. For what we preach is not, I'm reading Amplified. For we do not preach who? Ourselves. But who do we preach? Christ Jesus as Lord. And then ourselves merely as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown where? In our hearts. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and the majesty of God clearly revealed in the face of who? Christ Jesus. Because he is the express image of God. Continue. But we have this precious treasure. Somebody say precious treasure. We have this what? Precious treasure. The good news about salvation. Did you see that Paul realized that this is a treasure? He found a treasure. See, we have this precious treasure. Man, this is not ordinary word. This is not their common street talk. This is not what you hear anywhere. This is not television talk. This is precious, what? Treasure. See, there's a treasure. The good news about salvation. It's all these redemptive blessings that we have. It's all the good news now. It says, this treasure is in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, his sufficiency, and not from ourselves. You found a treasure. I want to ask you, be sincere. All these things we've been teaching about redemptive privileges and blessings, is it a treasure really to you? Or is it what they talk about in church? Don't answer me because I asked. Talk to yourself. Be sincere. You're in church. You're in church. Is it really a treasure to you? Or is it what they talk in church? Answer yourself. You see why we don't have revelation? Because the Bible, God says, I don't give my treasure to what? Those who don't appreciate it, they will trample upon, they'll call it nothing. That's why people sit in church, they don't understand anything. They won't get it. Because it's not a treasure to them. How do you know it's a treasure to you? When you start seeking it like you seek silver. When you start burning the midnight oil like you seek silver. Then God says, wow, this has become a treasure. And we start hiding it. It becomes something you want to keep. It becomes a treasure. It's not a treasure because you came here for Bible studies. Maybe you came because of traditions of me. We do Bible study on Thursday. Make I go. You see, Onyeka said something yesterday. He said, there's something God is doing now. Man, if you were not there yesterday, I don't know how to help you. It was something else. He said, God is doing something now. He said, God is calling people into his presence to share mysteries with them. He said, those who won't answer it will be ordinary Christians. And I said, yeah, that's true. He said, those are the ones who come to the secret place of the Most High. When they come out, they hit sickness, it goes away. Because they have something. They had something. They had what? Paul said, I had words unspeakable. I had these words, totally unspeakable. I want to ask us again, an answer to yourself. Remember, we're in church. Is this really a treasure to you? If God will ask you, is it a treasure to you? All these redemptive things I did for you, all these things I sacrificed my son to do, what is the worth in your eyes? Is it like your dollar? Do you think it's the same thing with your dollar? Think it's the same thing with your job? Your life does not consist in that dollar you are packing in the bank. This is what makes you who you are. This is how I transformed you. That's how I brought you to glory. Dollar won't bring you to glory. The dollar will give you the glory of this world, which doesn't last. Doesn't last. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Look, I've sat before people and all the expertise in America, all these doctors and the equipment, the conclusion is we don't know what to do. We don't know. If I recently I got another one, they say, all the doctors say we don't know what to do. I said, praise the Lord. I said, this gets excited. I said, because now it's impossible to men, let them get out. God, it's not impossible to God. I said to us, there's no hopeless thing. That men give up doesn't mean God has what? No, it doesn't happen to us. My question again is, because I sat in my office, I said, Lord, I don't even know where you're going with this. I'm telling you, I said, Lord, where are you going with this? Treasure. I said, treasure? It's a treasure to me. I said, what? I said, is there anything else you want to tell us? He said, go and teach it like that. Now I'm stuck here. I can't move. He said, ask them again. Is it a treasure to you? Simple question. Is it a treasure? Have you ever given somebody something so costly and he doesn't value it? I'm asking. Something that cost you a lot of money. You know what it cost God? His son. Have you ever given somebody something? It cost you. He doesn't even deserve it. It cost you a lot of money. You give it to him. He loses that. Tomorrow you find it somewhere. How will you feel? The body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, must discover the treasure of heaven, the riches of his grace. It cost God his son. It pleased God to what? Smite. So that treasure is given to us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not a treasure to you because you came here. It's a treasure to you because you search it like you search silver and gold. It's a treasure to you. When you sacrifice something for it, value is determined by sacrifice. Alternative for gone is the real value of something. That's what economists tell us. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Do you study to know it? Is it important to you? I'm not moving because this is where I get stuck. Let's read that scripture again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 6. No, verse 7. But we have this what? Precious treasure. Can someone define treasure for me? Go and do a spool. Check your phone. What is treasure? Treasure. Huh? Something valuable. How valuable? Highly valuable. But we have this precious what? Treasure. Paul, what is it? The good news about salvation. In unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God. Yeah. It's put in another way, Ephesians 3:17. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? By faith. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through. It's the something he's saying. The something. Christ is the word. Christ is the power of God. The book of Revelation calls him the word of God. So when you receive via the word of his grace, the riches of Christ, you receive Christ now. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you have, having been deeply rooted and what? Securely grounded in love, be fully capable now of comprehending with all the other saints, God's people, the width, length, and height, and depth of his love, fully experiencing now the amazing, endless love of God. Proverbs 4:20. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following me? Am I shooting over your head? If you are following me, say amen. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You are looking for health? He says, my word is health. That's what Onyeka told us yesterday. That God told him, said, my word is health. Can you compare it with any other treasure? Any other treasure? Say, my word is health. My word is life. Oh, a man's life does not constitute in the abundance of the things. Now he's telling us what life is. My word is what? Life. My word is health. The treasure. An earthen vessel. The word of salvation. The word of his grace. The redemptive things that Jesus died to give us. Packaged in our salvation. And so meditating on this word of the gospel, if it's important, again, if it's a treasure to you, you will fellowship with it. Can I hear amen? Yeah. You know, if something is important to you, you want to have, you have time for it. You spend time with it. Let me use this example. When I married newly, before the boys came and spoiled things for me, because when the boys came, that's what they call mother's love. They will teach you this in any class. You experience it for yourself. So before the boys came, because she was important to me, I wanted to be with her. It was such a driving thing that every 2 weeks I would drive from Kaduna to Nsukka. Every 2 weeks without fail. And I didn't feel it. Arm robbery for a while. I didn't care about arm robbers. I was heading to Nsukka. Sometimes I'll arrive in Nsukka at 10 p.m. If you know the road through Kehe and all these things to inside that University of Nigeria, very lonely road going through all these bushes. I'll drive it alone. I didn't even remember arm robbers. My heart was there. Somebody stole it. And I'm heading there. You know what was pushing me? Desire. The word love means desire. That's what love is. Desire. If you don't desire somebody, you don't love him. I wanted to be there. It was a treasure to me. It was important to me. And one time, my father called me. He said, come, I came. He said, you really love your wife? I said, yeah. I said, how did you find her? I said, I've been watching you. Yeah. Let me give us an advice. You are losing a lot if you pay lip service to the word of God. You will lose big time. You will leave, you will, believe me, you will lose incredibly. You will lose in such, you can't even begin to imagine their loss. So when that thing is a treasure to you, you want to go there. You have a desire for it. You have a love for it. You don't do it because it's what they say, quiet time they say you should do. You're always there. Am I right? When lovers get on the phone, how long do they stay? Huh? You tell me now, are you pretending? I know he's telling us. He and the wife, they get on the phone. They stay there how long? Forever. Oh, so somebody falls asleep. But when you are struggling to go and read it, struggling, you don't have desire. It's not a treasure to you. I told the youths, I said, love does not need introduction. It can be seen. I'm telling you the truth. He doesn't. Asking me, Pastor, does he love me? He doesn't love you. Stop. I'm telling you right away. Because if he does, you don't have to ask me. You will see it. Because action speaks what? Louder. You see it. The action, everything. Body language, desire, everything is open. And once lovers meet, there is spontaneous discussion. Because they love each other's voice. There's spontaneous discussion. It's not programmed discussion. They call it duty marriage. Duty marriage is, let me do it because they taught us in the family forum, you have to. That's duty. This one I'm talking about is spontaneous. Anytime lovers meet, they don't like what to say. Even if it's nonsense, they enjoy it. It's the same thing with this one I'm saying. If it's a treasure to you, the moment you come in contact with the word of God, you don't lack what to think. You don't lack what to say. You and God get into conversation right away. This is for real. This is for real. And that's called Christianity. You and God get into conversation. You start studying, you are in a war, in a different world altogether. Because what is showing you and what you are talking about is amazing. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You can start from this thing, share it, watching you how this and applies to this, applies to here, applies to here, applies to this, and applies to this, and show you things to come. One time, my son, you know, Kenechukwu, he was 15 and a half or so, 15 and a half, going to 16, when he was at University of Ibadan. And then he passed jam, so they sold his jam to somebody else. And then they told us, well, we can put him in Ibadan to do education. That if he does well, then we can transfer him to economics we wanted to do. So he took education, went to Ibadan, was living in one room. They were 16. A boy of 15 and a half. So he would cook food, the big boys would eat it. So we went to see him. After the year, there were two of them that did very well. He was one of them. His result was so outstanding that they put it on their board. So it was time now to transfer him to economics. The dean of faculty of education refused and said, a first-class candidate, one first-class candidate I have, you want to take him from me? He said, over my dead body. And she said, Christian. All the deans were calling this woman, she said, over my dead body. So we took Kenechukwu to pack. He packed the things, we left. I want to show you something. I was in my office meditating, and the Lord said to me, do you love him more than I do? I said, no. He said, is he my son? I said, you. I said, yeah. He said, do I care about him? I said, yeah. He said, stop bothering me about him and take your minds off him. He's my son. I take care of my own. I didn't know that the Lord had gone and told him, I will train you abroad. You're not going to invest in Nigeria. He was afraid to tell us because he felt if he told us, we could misunderstand it. So every day he'll come play organ in the church. I was sitting there being sorry for him. But now I'm not sorry anymore. Because he came here, graduated, got a wife. That's what happens. When you cue into meditation and fellowship with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, He will tell you incredible things. You won't be confused in this life. Not possible. No. Not as you walk in the light, it's not possible. Things will be happening, people are yelling and this. When you come in, He tells you exactly what the situation is, tells you what He's about to do here, and you keep quiet. Totally different world you live in. And every single time you talk, people are wondering where this thing is coming from. It's coming from Him. You see this thing they call worry? It will be strange to you. Very strange. Worry. You don't know how it looks like. Worry about what? Because he's been talking about, talk with you all the time. So that's why we should treasure this word. Jesus said, a man's life does not constitute in all these things you people chase around. It doesn't give you. That dollar will give you all this information and it won't do it for you. You're wasting your time. Go to California and see millionaires committing suicide, taking drugs, to live on drugs. Multi-millionaires, they must take drugs. And go to Lagos and see a poor man living in Makoko, so happy. Very happy, he has nothing, so happy. Every night he's dancing. He has nothing. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? If you don't love His word, if you don't have desire for it, brethren, I am telling you the truth, you are losing a lot. You are losing the best of God, and I can't help you. Because these things are delivered via the word of grace. That's how it comes. Paul said, I found a treasure. It's a treasure, a precious treasure. He said, living in this frail body, and it's working because it's showing that the power is from him, not from this frail body. Second Corinthians 3:3. So when you begin to really treasure this thing, the Spirit of God begins to chisel it in your heart. Begins to chisel it. 2 Corinthians 3:3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. New Living Translation. Clearly, you are a letter from who? Christ. Showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on. That's what the Spirit of God does. When you treasure this thing, he begins to carve it in your heart. That's what the Bible is saying. That's when you are grounded and rooted in it. He begins to carve it and write it in your heart. Write it in your heart. He begins to write it in your heart. That's what the New Covenant says. The Bible says, all of them shall know me from the smallest what? To the biggest. What? You carve it. You carve it. You write it. Because it's the Spirit of God that gives the revelation of Christ. You carve it and write it in your heart. Then, when the Spirit of God writes it in your heart, impresses it in your heart, the next thing is that the Spirit of God uses the word to landscape your life. He uses the word to what? Landscape your life. Because that's the building block he will use. Because Jesus said, a man's life does not constitute in the abundance of what he has. But my word is life. My word is life to them that find it. So when you find the treasure, the Spirit of God begins to write it in your heart and then begins to sculpt your life with it. Begins to build your life with it. Begins to build your life with it. 2 Corinthians, this is a James 1:21 message. Message. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener I'm reading first James 1:21. You give me James 1:19. Okay, I get it. He doesn't split it. I'm reading 21. 21 is so it's okay, don't worry, I found it. So throw all, it's in the middle. 21 is in the middle. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage in simple what? Humility. Let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Let him landscape you. You know what landscapers do? They come into your compound, they beautify it, they put the flower that should be here, they put, many of you don't use landscapers, so I don't know how to illustrate this one. You cut your grass? Do you know landscaper? I don't even go there. Landscaper. A landscaper comes and then beautifies your compound, puts flower and puts. You don't have flowers. I don't know why I'm using this thing. Do you have flowers? For where? I visited some of you, no flower at all. But this is like landscaping. Puts flower here, puts this one here, and paves the road and makes your compound so beautiful. So the word of God, the Holy Spirit uses it to landscape your life. Pave here, put flower here, do this one here. When people look at it, you look what? Awesome. That's what Jesus is saying. That money doesn't do that. A man's life does not consist in all these things. He said, when you find my wife, my word, you find life, and the Holy Spirit uses it to landscape your life, beautify it, bring out health, bring out all those prosperity and all those wisdom and the life that... Have you found some people, when you deal with them, you want to go back? Well, if you deal with them, you want to go back to them. Their life is so... Their life is, they are sweet-smelling savour. They smell nice. You want to go back. The way they talk is attractive. Everything they do is attractive. But have you found some people you don't want to go back to them? Because their life is tongues and thistles. Now, when the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to build your life, you become love, picture of love. And people can't resist you. They want to come to you. Praise the Lord. I didn't see anything. I said, praise the Lord. Then the next thing the Word of God does, this is the last thing we're going to talk about, is that it comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13 comes out of your mouth. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, with the word in our heart, the Spirit of God writes it in our heart to build a landscape of our lives. And then the thing begins to come out in our mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We read that now. So Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by what? Through faith, we understand that the worlds, not one word, were framed by what? So that things which are seen were not made of the things we do appear. So when you have the word in your heart and the Spirit of God begins to sculpt destiny in your heart, you begin to have pictures. You begin to see it. It's called faith. You begin to see how your life is. And then it comes out of your mouth. It starts in your heart. For from the heart comes all the issues of life. So when it begins to sculpt it in your heart, you see it, you know it, you believe it. It comes where? Of your mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth, it becomes a reality. It becomes a reality. So the words were framed by the Word of God. The words were framed by the Word of God. When people spoke them, when people released them, when people say so, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Saying so is not saying so because they are saying so. They are saying so because you know it is true. You see the redemption. You see the reality. You see the life that is sculpted by the Word of God. You can describe it. You say so. Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh unto thee. Where is it? Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh where? Unto thee. Where is it? And where again? That thou mayest what? This is exactly what Paul was quoting in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse what? Put it, Romans 10:9-10. This is the last scripture we're reading. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from this dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation or reality. So when we fellowship with the Word and have this intimacy with the Holy Spirit, who begins to landscape your heart and your mind. And then you begin to see this thing that it is. This is the way my life is. Then you begin to confess it to be true. It becomes a reality. You are not confused as to what your life looks like. Because you see it, you know it, you understand it. That's what is called faith. Faith is not an arbitrary thing. You know it, you see it, you realize this is true. And anything anybody else is saying, you are not interested because you know what you are seeing. You know what the Spirit of God is showing you with the Word of God. The life is sculpting for you. You understand it all. For instance, all that time that when we came back from Ibadan, you know, my son knew what God has sculpted, was showing him. That you are going to university where? Abroad. He saw it. He realized that, yeah, that's where I'm headed. He was not bothered. So every morning he would come and be playing organ. But because I didn't see the same thing, I was pitying him. I said, oh, this boy is wasting his time. But was he wasting his time? No. At the fullness of time, God moved him piam and fulfilled everything God said. He saw it all. He saw it all. Everything. Even my daughter Jessica. I went to our former church. I was downstairs. My daughter was going upstairs. And I called out to her. And I don't drink water a lot. I can stay a long time before. I don't drink water a lot. I said, Jess, can you get me water? She said, Daddy, I'll get you water. She was up. Do you know that our step? That is from here to the one that somebody saw in the dream. He was almost there. I said, Daddy, I'll get you water. Immediately he went. The Lord spoke to me. He said, do you remember Abraham? I said, he said, remember the son, the servant that went to get a wife? He said, what did that woman give him? I said, water. He said, that's your daughter, that son's wife. I said, really? He said, yeah, that's your son's wife. That's how I knew. He said, that's your son's what? So if you like to be fasting, that's your headache I've had. That's her. Can I hear amen? You know things to come. Don't have to be confused. Every Christian, all you young people, you should know your wife. You should know how many children you should have. You should know. You should even know their names. You should know. So, well, that's why the Spirit of God is here, to show you things to come. To show you, sculpture your, landscape your life and show you. So you are looking at it, wow, this is, these are the children. These are my job. This is that. In your heart, you see them. You start thanking God for them. You start worshiping God for them. And they start happening. Can I hear amen? I was talking to some of our youth. I won't tell you who. They came to my office and the Lord said to me, they are going to have twins. So I said to them, I said, have you people talked about twins? They said, Pastor, that's exactly what we are going to have. I said, you are going to? I said, okay, fine. They already knew. And the Lord said to me, they will have twins. And I said to them, have you thought about twins? They said, we knew it. We are going to have to. We even have their names. Amazing life. Can I hear amen? He will sculpture your life and show you twins are coming. This will happen. This is what your job. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm taking you. Sculptor it for you and see. You see it. You are not confused. The steps of a good man, all that. It's not confusion. It's all that. He knows why he said it. He knows everything. He knows everything. But when we don't fellowship with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we miss these things. Then our mind is confused with all manner of things coming from television, coming from friends, coming from the world, coming from people who don't even know Jesus at all. And we are so confused. And we are poor. Because we don't have the Word dwelling in us. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Does anybody have a question?